Come a long, long way, but we still have a long, long way to go. The basic thing about a man is not his specificity, but his fundamentum. Not the texture of his hair or the color of his skin, but his eternal dignity and worth. Cannot forfeit nature's claim. Skin may differ, but affection dwells in black and white the same. But if I stop at this point, I will merely be stating a fact and not telling the truth. You see, a fact is merely the absence of contradiction, but truth is the presence of coherence. Truth is the relatedness of facts. Now, it's a fact that we've come a long, long way, but it isn't the whole truth. And I'm afraid if I stop here, I will leave you the victims of an illusion wrapped in superficiality. And we may all go away from here the victims of a dangerous optimism. And so in order to tell the truth, it is necessary to move on and say we still have a long, long way to go before the problem of racial injustice is solved in our country. And if I were so tall as to reach the pole or to grasp the ocean at a span, I must be measured by my soul. The mind is the standard of the man. And with this new sense of dignity and this new sense of self-respect, a new Negro came into being with a new determination to struggle, to suffer, and to sacrifice in order to be free. A man had me on the plane the other night, and he said, the trouble is, Dr. King, you all are just marching and all of that, but you need to do something for yourselves. Well, I was trying to remind him that marching is doing something for yourself, but anyway, he was on the argument that other immigrant groups have come into the country and they face discrimination and they face depression, and yet they've been able to lift themselves by their own bootstraps. And I looked at that man and I said, it does not help the Negro for unfeeling, insensitive white persons to look into his face and say to him that other immigrant groups who came to this country 100 or 150 years ago have gotten ahead of him, and he was brought here in chains involuntarily. Some 348 years ago. And I said to that man, sir, you don't realize that no other ethnic group has been a slave on American soil. Sir, you don't realize that the nation made the Negro's color a stigma. And one can never know what this has done to the Negro. It's a tragic thing to make a man's color a stigma. And you know, that became so difficult that even we had a semantics barrier. If you look at the language, everything white is pure and chaste and superior. Everything black is evil. If we open Roget's thesaurus, you'll find there 120 words for black, and at least 60 of them a word representing something low, nasty, degrading, worthless, meaningless. And it has 136 words for white, and all of them pure, chaste, lucid, and high and noble, you know, everything. So that in our society, a white lie is better than a black lie. If somebody goes wrong in the family and becomes degenerate, it's not a white sheep, it's a black sheep. And so the whole culture, the whole linguistic structure has made the Negro feel that he's nobody, and he's had to battle this nagging sense of nobodiness over and over again. That is why psychologically there's so much talk today of black consciousness, and the word black is used deliberately. And I think there's a healthy sign there, because the society made the Negro's color a stigma. But the other thing that I would like to point out on the bootstrap end is this. Nobody else has lifted themselves by their own bootstraps totally. The Negro was freed from the bondage of physical slavery in 1863. But he wasn't given any land to make that emancipation meaningful. And you know, that was like having a man in prison for many, many years and suddenly discovering that he's innocent of the crime that he was convicted for years ago. And then you come to the man and say, now you're free. But you don't give him any bus fare to get to town. No money to buy clothes to put on his back. No money to get started in life again. Every code of jurisprudence would rise up against it. And yet this is exactly what happened to the Negro in America. He was left there penniless, illiterate, no land. A document said, you are now free. Frederick Douglass asked for 40 acres and a mule. Nothing was given. But remember this, at the same time, America, through an act of Congress, was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor. But not only did the nation give the land, built land-grant colleges so that they could go to learn to farm. They provided county agents so that they could help them develop more expertise in farming. And then they provided low interest rates so that they could mechanize their farms. And today they are gaining federal subsidies not to farm. And often these are the very same people who are telling Negroes that they ought to lift themselves by their own bootstraps. And what I'm saying today, that the nation must come to see that it made a terrible mistake and committed a tragic sin in the past. And we can only solve this problem by recognizing it. It's a nice thing to say to a man, lift yourself by your own bootstraps, but it's a cruel jest to say to a bootless man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. And through the years.